Okay.
Actually, I can't even hear me. Oh, there. There I was. I was not there.
Hi, everybody.
I was like, hey, hi. Welcome to Intellectual Kink. I am Insidious Muse.
I'm Surface Slut.
And we're here.
We are here.
We are here in downtown Los Angeles. You don't look good, honey.
I know, man. Can my period be one of my hard limits? Can it?
Well, it can, but notoriously your body does not respect that hard limit. Even when you call red. Get it? Get it? Everybody get that? Get the period? The menstrual joke? I'm sorry. There's something wrong with me.
There really is.
In every conceivable way, there's something wrong with me. But that's okay. That's okay. It's part of my charm. But that's not. We're not going to talk about periods.
No,
like kids.
Although that is a thing. But that's not what we're going to talk
period
about.
Period plays a thing? Well, is it like a lesbian thing? Do you finger painting?
Oh my God, now I want to do that.
Seriously, like that needs to happen. Why has nobody ever finger painted with menstrual blood, you know?
I think that should happen.
She's Googling
she's
it.
She's Googling it.
She's Googling it. That's why we love Jenny. I'd be up for that.
Yeah.
Are you still going to be period-ding this weekend?
Probably not. No.
All right, well, let's try and time your periods around a party, please. Could you work on that?
I will work on that.
All right, and then we'll figure it out. I'll get lots of gloves, and I'll get an apron.
Yeah, I'll put my uterine lining on notice.
I'll be like a mad doctor.
Sure.
That would be awesome.
Hey, look, it is a thing.
I'm not sure if this is actually them, you know.
No, that is art made out of blood. Actually,
a
friend of mine has an artist who does nothing but art in his own blood. It's all monochromatic, just his own blood. And some of that looks like it might be some of his stuff. He's very good, actually. He's in New York.
Do you know his name?
No.
Okay.
No, didn't care enough to remember. Just knew it was the blood. And I was like, well, bloodborne pathogens and all that. That sounds wrong.
That sounds, yeah. And that could be very well be somebody's hard limit. Let's face it.
It's true. It's true. It's true. Good segue.
Mm, you know how I do.
Somebody has to be professional in this duo. Yeah, so we are tonight, this evening, or whenever it is that you are listening to the show, mm-hmm. we want to talk about limits. And not just like, you know, hey, this is a limit, and this is my limit, and this is your limit. It was actually, I went to the Twitterverse, and I said, hey, dudes, dudettes, and people.
Oh, gosh.
I need topics. I was like, hey, BDSM topics, throw them at me. Twitter, what you got? And of course, we've procured a fantastic list of followers mm-hmm. that love BDSM and are very active in it on various levels. So I got a lot of interesting feedback mm-hmm. about it. And one actually didn't come on my timeline, came in with DM, which is one of those things where I'm like, you know, don't DM me, but this guy's cool, so no problem. and it was like, you know what, you should talk about how a sub can identify, and this is how it was specifically, a sub can identify that they're ready to adjust their limits. Mm-hmm. And you know me, I'm not about singularly focusing on one side because I think everybody goes through this process of evolution. We've discussed kinkolution a lot. And so part of that is how does anybody, you know, there's the premise of limits. Well, what are your limits? What are your hard limits? What are your soft limits? And when do you move something from one list to the next to off the list altogether?
Right. And a lot of, in terms of limits and how you identify which is which, you know, sometimes it's just a matter of choice, taste, you know, how much experience you've had with something.
Right.
I mean, I know for fuck sure, like for me, a lot of things that were hard limits to begin with were just things I hadn't experienced before. And so there's that element of fear, right? Fear of the unknown.
So for you, when you defined your hard limit list, it was based upon fear as opposed to you had an assumption or a belief that it would be beyond what you were able to handle.
Not all of it, but there were certainly some things that what it came down to was that I had never experienced it and it didn't sound like something that I would like.
Such as
anal shit.
Really?
Oh,
even though
God.
It's a well-documented pleasure center.
Right. No. Did not matter to me.
Right.
I just didn't. I didn't have an interest. Like I wasn't curious. I felt like nah, No, I'm just going to let stuff come out of there. Nothing's going to go in.
Exit only, as so many say.
Uh-huh. And so, you know, that particular one, it really what it came down to was having the experience. And of course, it's not something where, like, you know, happens from one day to another, like, bam, something that was a limit, no longer a limit.
Like, woohoo, give me the big black cock in my ass.
No.
A big black dildo in your ass. No?
No.
Purple glittery dildo in your ass? You look like you're so unhappy.
I'm really unhappy. I'm like, I slept like 3 hours, man. It's bad.
All right.
But yeah, you know, sometimes that's what it comes down to. I mean, I'm not saying that that's what it's limited to, but I'm sure that that's.
So for you personally, I mean, since you brought that topic up, let's talk how, because now it is, I mean, not that you do it often, but it is something that you enjoy. You have some fun butt plugs and you like sticking them in during masturbation and that's enjoyable for you. So how internally did that dialogue happen for you when you started realizing or thinking maybe that isn't a hard limit? How did that happen? And then from the internal dialogue, how did you go into the external dialogue?
Well, internally, I thought, okay, I'm going to treat this the way that I treat anything else. And I want to learn everything about it.
Okay.
You know, so, you know, that whole having the experience, what also comes into play is having the knowledge. You know,
before we get to that, what prompted you to gain interest in it?
I got really bored.
Okay.
With what I was already experiencing. I think that internally I just felt like, okay, I'm ready. I need some next level shit.
All right.
You know?
And your butt was there. It was uncharted territory.
It was uncharted territory. Plus, you know,
So you wanted to, that bad boy.
Right. And then, you know, well, not quite like that, but
well,
sure.
Now you understand how I feel every time you used to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Go on. You're so done with me.
I'm not done with you. I'm just done with, like, everything. No, but... fuck, I already forgot what your question was.
So you were bored, and that's why you jumped to the let's stick things in our butt.
Well, it also helps then that, you know, that...
Because that's what I think.
That the other party is like, hey, let's do this thing. You know? So...
On that, really quickly, I'm just going to interject and then we'll continue on with the internal dialogue. For me personally, so let me give you an example. I have a bad past history with anal, not BDSM related, just, you know, surprise butt sex, by the way, is a thing. Not a good thing.
No.
FYI, not a good thing. So I had always been like, nope, no. And I would be lying if I said that other people's experiences with anal didn't impact me, because that absolutely did. So we have a lot of friends that we love and adore that are anal sluts. Like, they want stuff up their ass all the time. Mm-hmm. And they talk about how fantastic it is. And I'm like, really? And then, and this is going to be graphic. So if you don't like graphic, everybody, turn away. And I mean, like, nasty graphic, not like sexy graphic. Sometimes when you're taking a shit, it feels good. I'm just being real honest. And then I'm like, if it feels good coming out, maybe some shit feels good going back in.
Oh, brother.
So that was my internal dialogue for that, for personally. But so now for you, so then you research.
Right. Well, you know, when you're engaging in play with somebody else, with your play partner, and your play partner expresses interest and you're kind of indifferent, it's easy to just kind of entertain the idea, you know?
Okay.
So for me, in regards to anal, I went from very much opposed to it to indifferent.
Correct. You took away one of my humiliation toys. I would tease you with, you know, sticking things up your butt. Remember, you use the pencil up your butt and all of that. Yeah. I would tease you with all of that.
Yeah.
It's gone, because now you're like, give me something bigger than a pencil.
But yeah, so I mean, that kind of, you know, serves as a catalyst, so to speak. But I think there's also this element of being desensitized, where, you know, you have these predetermined limits, and with the course of time, you know, you see them happening to other people. You see that it's not that bad. It's not, you know,
nobody's dying.
No, nobody's dying. But
being
also
maimed.
But, you know, everyone's okay afterwards. Everyone's fine.
They're even happy. Hmm.
And so sometimes that can also shift your limits a little bit.
Sure.
You know, you see people having fun. You think, well, it didn't look that bad. Maybe I can try it. Now, again, that's not something, I don't think that's something that happens overnight, but I think it's definitely, you know, one of the characteristics of there being that shift.
Yeah, I mean, it plants a seed.
Sure.
You know, and I think, I mean, you can look at that as basic human behavior in general. So even taking it outside of the BDSM world, we can talk about like drugs, alcohol, sex, and all of that kind of thing, where you see other people doing something. Let's say you're a very straight-laced person and you see other people doing something, other people drinking, other people smoking pot or whatever, and you're like, hey, they're having a really good time. Maybe I'll try it. And let's be honest. The first time you try alcohol, it does not taste good.
Nope.
Even the second and maybe up to the 20th time, it still doesn't taste good. But you do it anyway because you want, you know, the ends justifies the means, essentially. And sometimes that's how it is with limits, with those things where you see other people having a good time and you're like, and especially if you do like you did where you research, and sometimes it's not research via the web, which you're more of a private researcher where you don't really want everybody to know what you're thinking. So you utilize the interwebs as you young people do.
I love Google so much.
and you seek out as much information as you can find before perhaps you verbalize it to another human being.
Oh, absolutely.
And then the verbalizing it to another human being, then you get kind of their personal insight, their personal experience, and everybody's experiences are different. So, you know, that's when then you start another or another or another. And if you don't say, hey, this is on the down low, maybe they bring it up in a group at the dungeon. And you've got seven people there that are like, oh, you haven't? Oh, my God. Blah, 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 blah. I've got this. And then you're like, oh, okay.
But, you know, and also that exposure, it's not just, you know, taking a hard limit and then making it into, you know, something that's not a limit at all. But, it obviously can also go the opposite way. Mm-hmm. You see someone have a really bad experience and you're like, maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not for me, you know?
Yeah. No, I mean,
has that ever happened to you?
Where I've seen somebody have a really bad experience, then I've said maybe not.
Well, I mean, I guess. You know, where you've seen something and it shapes,
yes,
perhaps how you feel about it.
One of my very few hard limits, like hard limits, is playing when I'm angry. And that came around by doing it. there was a guy. And I did not like him at all. He was annoying and obnoxious. And I just, that had that icky energy. And he kept like harassing me, like, you know, come on, let's play it. And I was very young. This is before I ever entered the actual scene, before I was ever really, I just had a lot of natural skill and chutzpah, but I didn't have any training. And so, you know, he hounded me. And I was like, look, you're like, and I got really pissed off at him. And I was like, you're a fucking asshole. And then that was it. He was super excited, cock hard, like, let's do this. And I'm like, wow, this is weird. I mean, it was a strange experience for me. And then, you know, he got out his toys and he had a crop and he didn't have like a lot of toys. He didn't have toys like we had. He had like, you know, Amazon level toys, like stuff you would get at a sex shop. And I mean, I didn't recognize that then. I was, like I said, I was very young. And so, you know, he wanted me to hit him with a crop. And I was like, and I didn't know anything. So what do? You like hit him like you hit a horse, like slam. And I started hitting him. It was very, very dark for me. It really fed, you know, I talk about that darkness. It really fed that darkness in a very, very scary way. Because the more I did it, the more he wanted it. And the angrier I got angrier. And it kept feeding that and not taking it away. It never went away. It kept. And it was really, at the end of it, I mean, I just stopped because I was exhausted. And I was almost to the point of tears. It was so distressing for me. And I just said, nope. And I put it down and I was like, I'm not doing that again. Cause that, it was probably the single worst BDSM experience I had ever had in my life. And I was like, all right, I don't want to do that again. And so now I don't. So that was for me. And I occasionally I will say that I see other people playing, and it's not that they're angry, but that's a component of it. And this is an odd thing. Part of me like wants to put my distance because I feel that anger, and I'm like, ooh, I remember that and I didn't like it. But part of me really liked it, really liked feeding that blackness. And so it was one of those, so I know me well enough that I'm like, I'm just gonna step away because I don't know where the bottom is, if there is a bottom. So I'm just not going there. So it's a hard limit for me because I don't want to Dexter anybody. I'm be keeping it real.
And that's a matter of safety for everybody, really.
It is. But a lot of people have a perception of, especially a female dominant, or I mean, it depends on the kind of dynamic in the play, but a lot of people have the perception of a dominant that they have to be kind of angry and they have to have this force. You know what? I'm just not that kind of dom. I'm very playful. I have a lot of fun. Do I have intensity? Absolutely. But and I think that that's the challenge is, how do you maintain that kind of domly intensity without this perception of this anger, which is not present, but there, you know what I'm saying? It's this really interesting ball of psychology and twine. So that, I mean, for me, and that's a hard limit that I cannot ever see me removing. I can't, just because, I mean, you really saw deep, deep into why that is a hard limit.
Well, and I think that also, and that brings up a really important point where, you know, in identifying how your limits are shifting, you really have to be, I don't know, in touch with yourself.
Yeah.
Be really aware of how something's making you feel.
Yeah.
You know, I know that from an S-type perspective, it can be really enticing to just fucking take something for someone.
Right.
Just take it. Because you want to please that person so bad. And you know they really, really like doing that one thing that you really, really fucking hate.
Yeah.
You know? And it's a very fine line between, you know, do I just really hate this? Is this unpleasant? Or is it a limit?
Well, and that's a fair question because you've been in that situation. You've also been in the situation where you took something you hated and it started softening for some whatever because it just wasn't that whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that for you, I mean, what is that? Are you saying that you've crossed your hard limits or are you saying you've crossed your soft limits to please somebody else? And to what end and what, I mean, I'm really curious. I mean, we've had this conversation, but I want to have it now.
I can't think of like an instance in which, you know, I violated my own limits. But you know, I mean, I don't like pain. That's just not on my, hold on, I'm getting there. Be patient with me, sister. I am unfucking comfortable in my lady parts. So I am trying hard.
Carry on.
But so I'm not a big fan of pain in general. But there are certain types that I'm totally cool with. The types that I'm not cool with, you know, I mean, it's hard to say that, you know, it's a limit and, you know, I continuously break my own limit by allowing it to happen. But, you know, sometimes I have felt like, well, I'll endure this unpleasantness because I know awesome stuff is going to come later. Or I'll endure this because she knows that I don't like this. So she knows that I don't like this. She knows that it isn't pleasant for me. So there must be some purpose to it. This must be some sort of means to an end. You know, so I don't feel like, while pain is not my fucking number one thing, I don't feel like it's necessarily been present to violate my limits. Does that make sense? Like,
well, and I think that we need to be really cautious of because you keep saying violate your limits as if the top, I don't know, me, violated your hard limits on a continuous basis.
No, oh my God.
And I think that that's the problem, is that people use this word limits and they believe that all limits are hard limits. And that's not true.
Right.
People need to understand that, and I don't want to use, I love the term shades of gray, but not because of 50 shades of gray, but everything, it does have shades of gray, and yeah. some get darker till they're hard, and they're like, no, I absolutely cannot do it. And some are like, let me give you an example, flesh hooks. I would love to learn and do that to somebody else. Me? Let me say this way. It's in the dark gray category. But I'm never going to say without a shadow of a doubt, no. Right now it's like, I don't like being poked.
No.
It don't sound good to me. I mean, I know a lot of dominants that do it, and it's energy and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like,
No. Allow me to clarify. Pain for me is on that soft limit kind of area, where the greater the intensity of the pain, well, the harder my limit's going to get.
It also depends on the kind of pain.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. You know, it. Pain is a very broad thing, you know. True. People wonder how I, you know, can take you cutting, scratching me up with a fucking knife. And
good times.
Right. Yeah. and people wonder how I can take that. And to me, that's just not like, that's not on that level of pain that I can't take, you know. It's something else. You're right. I should not have used the word violate, because that's not.
Just want.
No. But it's true. It's not, you know. And so I use that more when I'm trying to say that I am aware that something is not very pleasant, not to say that it's a hard limit, but that it's just unpleasant. And so for me, because I'm aware of that, I'm thinking, well, wait, I don't know what's happening here. And so that's on me, right. You know.
Well, and you and I played together so often that I very rarely do something without some sort of a causality or reasoning.
Right.
And I am the mistress of Pavlov. I do almost everything with a Pavlovian intent. And part of that is to kind of draw you towards, you know, what pain can you find pleasure from? How can we link this for you so that you're not just enduring it, but we can have, you know, this symbiotic play where we all enjoy, where everybody has a good time, right?
Yes.
But that takes time and process. So,
oh, sure.
You know, it's, but I can get it. I mean, sometimes, you know, bottoms are like, that sucked. I did not enjoy that. But they followed up by saying, but I enjoyed it for you, mistress. You know, that kind of concept.
Right. You know, obviously, I think that if you're truly in discomfort and you really are not, like, your head's not there, nothing is there, then you have a responsibility to color out, you know?
Or at the very least to yellow, to have the discussion. I know that there's a lot of submissives that just don't red because of fear of disappointment, but to have the discussion. Because if it's taking your head to a dark place, then that's counterproductive.
Right.
You know, and the dominant generally isn't going to like that.
No.
I mean, maybe some dicky doms are, but, you know. I don't know, maybe most of the ones that I know are pretty in tune to kind of working on a symbiotic relationship. But I feel like we're getting a little off track.
Yeah, sorry.
No, it's fine. I mean, I think it's all a part of the organic conversation, which I enjoy. To give everybody kind of a little bit more enhancement into this concept of limits. So first off, you have to really understand yourself. And we have a big theme of know thyself within our shows, because that seems to be the key to almost everything. So understanding kind of where you are when you start a relationship, whether it's play partners, whether it's, you know, a pickup scene, whether it's an actual DS, which... you should probably start somewhere in kind of the kinky dating realm, which is like play partners, and then, you know what I'm saying? Before you, like, I'm just throwing that out with everybody. Mm-hmm. Maybe you shouldn't color somebody in the first week. Just an idea. Like, don't propose to somebody in the first week either. Same concept. Anyway, so when you're in that process, you know, you are vetting your partner for their limits and your own limits, because I believe very strongly that we do have situational limits.
Oh, yeah.
And subjective limits. So, for example, maybe somebody only wants to be cut by this one person because that's who they trust for whatever reason. They have that relationship with them. Mm-hmm. But then maybe they won't let anybody else because they don't. And they have a different set of limits for different partners. To say, oh, these are my limits of all times. I mean, yeah, at some point, you know, you can have that. But the truth is, you as the submissive set the ground rules for what is and is not okay. And it's really, really important. That's why that kind of needs and wants, those assessments and understanding who and what you are so important before, as much as you can before you engage in the quote unquote kinky dating, as I'm calling it, the pickup scenes and stuff like that, as much as you possibly can. If you have somebody that can help facilitate that, so that let's say you have no play and you need to learn that, then have somebody that you respect, somebody that has some skill to introduce you to certain things, because then you can at least understand what the sensation feels like, and from a pragmatic, sensational experience can understand, okay, no, I don't like that. And somebody that has a little bit more knowledge, especially when you're dealing with things that are not just about the physical, when you're moving into like humiliation and other of those aspects, somebody that has an understanding of, all right, well, let's talk about your childhood. So you were humiliated and called stupid a lot as a child. All right, maybe humiliation isn't for you then. It might not be. It might be. It just depends on the person. It depends on when I say this to you, when I call you a dirty Mexican whore, what reaction do I get? Some people get angry. You get shplooshy. You know, it just, that's about having that relationship. So that's where I would say would be situational or subjectively, you would have your limits. And that's, again, it's about not just understanding yourself, but that takes it that external level where you have to understand the person with whom you're speaking. And that complicates things. And I know people want things to be simple, but nothing that we do is simple. It's not just as simple as picking up a flogger and hitting somebody. Nothing is that simple. It's not even just as simple as taking your hand and spanking somebody. It might seem that simple, but then when you get into the underbelly of having some knowledge, then there's anatomy, there's safety, there's a plethora of things. There's also psychology that's involved in that, because if you're putting somebody over the knee and they have a, you know what I'm saying? So nothing is as simple as you might want it. So embracing all of these facets and trying to explore them as deeply as you possibly can before you get sub frenzy or top frenzy and just say, I want to beat up all of the people, then it's beneficial, because then you're the likelihood is you're not going to violate somebody else's limits as well as your own.
Right.
I was very soapboxy.
Yeah, it was.
I get so soapboxy. I'm so sorry, people.
You really do.
I'm sorry.
No, I think it's fantastic.
I'll go home now.
No, I can't do this by myself. And you're right to my car.
You can walk.
I really can't.
Yeah, you're disabled. The ADA is called.
Thanks.
But I mean, so for you, I mean, you're feeling me. I mean, there's, for example, since the cessation of our relationship, there's, you are finding difficulty in who you trust to play with.
Oh my God. Like insane.
For a variety of reasons. And I'm not saying because I'm all that in a bag of chips, but also there's just because we are the relationship that we are, and we're still friends, and we still have all of that. Lots of Fs. That is an overlaying emotional component as well.
Totally.
So
for me, you know, play is emotionally charged. It, you know, there's a lot for me that, I think about the different things that I'm into, and I just have a hard time pinpointing something, an act that I could do or have done to me where there wouldn't be some kind of component of the feels. And so that's really hard for me to separate. And so, you know, it's funny because I hear you talk about pickup scenes and I'm like, that's not going to happen. I don't see that happening for me because I wouldn't even know how to begin to even process the idea of it, you know? What?
Well, that's because you never have.
Right. Which takes us back to the anal thing. So, you know, it's one of those things where never experienced it. I've never experienced that. So there's a part of it that's fear, another part of it that's knowledge, another part of it's lack of exposure, you know? So it automatically goes into that bucket of things that are not going to happen, you know? As we all know, anal did not stay a limit. So that might not remain something that doesn't happen. I don't know. But there's just a lot of stuff, you know? I think that that's just, I don't know that I would enjoy myself if I didn't like figure that shit out first.
Allow me, Ms. Nancy.
Yes, please.
Our first three scenes were disastrous.
Yes, they were.
They were horrible. They were unpleasant. For you and me, it was awful. One, at the end of which you were in a puddle of tears.
Yes.
You know.
But then we went to Denny's and it was okay.
Because Denny's makes everything all right. Unless you're hanging out with Miss Rose Violet and then it's norms.
Yeah.
But my point for saying that is you gotta get out there, little camper. You know. We know a lot of people in the scene. And there's a lot of people that you respect.
Sure, sure.
So, you never know. I bet you would bottom for a humiliation scene to Mistress Melissa.
Oh, my God. No. Oh, my God. So, I don't know. I don't remember who I was talking to. But, like, being around her makes me feel so fucking inadequate that...
Ditto!
Like... Whoa, dude. Like, no, I am not worthy. Not worthy. Cannot even.
Ditto. I've hung out with the woman at ditto.
I'd be too busy, like, totally, like, checking myself, like, at every fucking moment. But, you know, no, you're right. There are tons of people that we know that are skilled, tons of people that, like, you know, would be afraid to hurt me in a bad way because you would probably scalp them. But you know,
I've never thought about that one though. But now I like it.
Oh, I'm glad I appealed to your dark passenger. I don't know. I mean, that's definitely right now that is in my limits. I don't even want to define it as a hard limit or as a soft limit or whatever, because it's an eventuality.
You're not ready right now.
I'm not ready right now. And
fair.
It's not something where like, I'm never going to play with somebody ever again. That's also not real.
It's not realistic. It's like saying you're never going to have sex again.
Right.
It's just not realistic.
No. But it's a dance that I have to do with myself. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's a thing. You know, you're not in the same boat because, you know, you've played with everybody and their mothers. Like, people like playing with you and stuff.
Do they?
I bet you Sanger would say yes to that. She'd say yes, daddy. Please.
Yeah, she would.
but yeah, so it's different. You know, you have the exposure, you know, right. You have the experience, you have the, you know, established communication and trust. And so with the people that you play with.
All right. Well, okay. You have, perhaps it's because you forged relationships with more S types than with D types, but you certainly do have the basis of a relationship for people. It just depends on with whom you feel comfortable engaging in some level of discussion.
Sure.
You know, sure. And what I was saying about this additional component is that you can't, and I don't mean to say this because you can't remove me from the equation because, you know, we're still in each other's lives.
I mean, BFFFFF.
And you had actually specifically asked one time that there was one person you'd be willing to bottom to. And that got every single one of my insecurities at their peak. I was just like, like everything in me like freaked out to have a really disproportionate response. And that's a sign that I'm emotionally compromised, as you well know, because we've known each other for a while. And so it's one of those. And at that time, that's definitely where I was. As the idea, you know, it lessens and lessens and lessens. It's one of those things. And I get that because I don't want to limit you, obviously. But it's one of those. That's one of, and that's my thing where I'm a mom. But, you know, I have to rationalize it in my head, rationalize it away, which when we're dealing with our own limits, because you said you do that dance with yourself, it's the same kind of concept of sometimes we're psyching ourselves up, sometimes we're psyching ourselves out, sometimes we're doing this like internal justification for why is it a limit, why isn't it a limit, what's going on, and well, I had that experience when I was five, and I, you know, all of these things that go into it, that because you cannot separate the psychological component of any of these acts. And so all of that goes into this, you know, limit cha-cha that we have in our head as we're looking at things for whatever it is. And so that's part of that inner dialogue that if you personally, people at home in their car, whatever, are having, that's not an unreasonable thing. It's not about you waffling. The truth of the matter is you should not be the same dominant, submissive, switch, bottom, top, whatever you are today that you were 2, 3, 1 year ago, 6 months ago, 5 years from now. You should evolve to some level. You can ebb and flow. You can jump all around. And a lot of that comes from dealing with those, for lack of a better term, inner demons, those things that we have that kind of make us, well, and I don't know, can I do that? Can I not do that? What, you know, and it's a challenge. I mean, I certainly sometimes struggle with it, even for some things. It's kind of shocking, isn't it? But for me, in my own personal evolution, it's about, well, where do I go? What, I mean, am I acquiring more skills? Sure, I can acquire more skills, but I'm at the, not that I'm like, woo, but I'm at a level where I have to get some really fucking specialized guidance to acquire more skills because I'm going into those mega edge play things. I'm already in edge play, I'm mega edge play. So then, well, where do I go to evolve? How do I do it? What do I expand? What do I, you know, and that leaves me where I have to have those internal psychological conversations of what's preventing me from bottoming? What's preventing me from, you know, co-topping more? I mean, nothing really. You know what I'm saying? There are all of those kind of inner questions that everybody should be asking themselves at any of these given moments in order for them to address, okay, why, you know, every time they look at a limit, why is it a limit and what's going on behind it? Because if it's simply fear, sometimes education eradicates that. If it's a psychological, historical thing, then that's a much deeper and larger issue.
So remember when we had entertained the idea of this forced hetero?
No, right.
Right? It's like that unicorn that got away, huh?
We were so close so many times. Right. So much penis.
So much penis, so little time. But, you know, that right there is actually an example of that limit that you kind of tiptoe a little bit for the sake of entertaining something else that's greater, right? Because that whole thing is within the context of humiliation, which is a total yes, right?
Right.
And so, you know, it's kind of, it's like what I was trying to say earlier about the pain, but I didn't articulate myself very well. Where by itself, stand alone, the heterosex is just not on my to-do list. It's really not. But
boys are smelly, FYI.
Yes. But, you know, it has taken me a really long time to be okay with that happening. Not even in like a sexy times romantic way. I'm not talking about that, but just like the act, just stripping away all of the emotion, you know. I told you that I went to go visit Julie R. And I you know, I was there and I was visiting with them. And I was very surprised at how willing and like weirdly comfortable I was with letting a man ogle my boobs. And at the time I felt okay with it. It felt like something natural and comfortable and just easy. And afterwards I was telling Juilliard that, you know, I didn't think about it right then and there, but any other time, the next day or 2 days later, I'd be a total fucking mess about it and be like, what the fuck did I let myself do? And oh my God, never again. But instead, what happened was, hey, I felt really comfortable with that. That's a big fucking deal.
Mm-hmm.
I felt safe, which was the biggest deal.
Right.
I felt safe. I felt comfortable. And I kind of felt a little bit in control of, well, not a little bit, a lot in control of myself, which was huge, you know? And so thinking about a limit like the heterosex and then having this experience happen, it makes it so that it's not so scary anymore. Where if it did happen in the context of a humiliation scene or it just happened, period, without like scary stuff, I'd be okay with it. And I think that, you know, things like that, like limits like that, I think it's, you know, it's so much more than the exposure and like having the knowledge base. I think sometimes it's really just plain about emotional evolution.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, letting go of maybe really bad things that happened in the past that totally made that be a really big trigger and just seeing it for what it is, which for a lot of people is a very natural act, you know?
Yeah, but for some people, it really means something on various levels. I mean, it means something very specific to you. It means something very specific to, you know, Joe down the street. It means something very specific to Jenny. You know, and that's the thing, is that acts and words, these all mean things based mm-hmm. upon our background, our experiences, the psychology, right. The makeup that makes us who we are.
Right. Absolutely. So that's what I was trying to get across earlier when we were talking about pain and this other thing. And then you were like, oh, this other thing. And like, what are you really saying? Blah, 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 blah. I don't know.
By the way, this is exactly how all of our conversations go. That is, at some point, we both revert to not words. It's a true, true, true thing. Yeah. And I mean, I think that we would be remiss if we didn't address not only just this internal dialogue that happens as you're contemplating what is and what is not, but we've talked about in the past the necessity for like a mentor or a colleague. Seek somebody out that is of your same position, status, or whatever that you respect to bounce these things off of. It's very important. You have, or did, I don't know if you still do, have a mentor and a submissive. I have a mentor and a dominant. And it's very important to have that outlet that just, you know, sometimes you just need to be like, this is what's going on in me. And in a very non-judgmental, what, you know, am I weird? Is something wrong with me? You know, any of those things.
Yeah, in a bounce board fashion.
Right, a very sounding board kind of way. So that's really important. But then additionally, so let's say that you give it a go. Let's use anal as an example.
Yeah.
You give it a go, and the first time out, you're like, nope. No, 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 no. Okay. Then you need to take it for what it is, that it was a learning experience. And if that means that goes onto your hard limit list, then it goes onto your hard limit list. Don't look into it as more than it was, especially if you have open dialogue with your partner, which is the key. That open dialogue in order to be like, look, this experience happened and it was unpleasant. I don't feel that I can do it again. That's a fair thing to say for both sides, not just the bottom, for the top as well. And so that it's incredibly important that you have what I would consider a postmortem in order to address what happened and how did this work, especially if you're dealing with limits. What happened? How did this work? Is this something you would be willing to try again? Is it something that you've confirmed should in fact stay on your hard limit list?
Right.
And that's where a lot of people fail, not just in BDSM, but in general, is they don't look back and say, okay, what worked, what didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I mean, it's a business thing, but that is incredibly important for us within BDSM because it also will help facilitate our personal growth. Because, you know, let's say you had an unpleasant experience with the anal and we don't have a postmortem and you decide it's on your hard limit because of that. But let's say we do have a postmortem and we discuss, what was it that you didn't like? Oh, you felt that the insertion device was too large. You felt that there wasn't enough loop. You know, what are these things? Okay. And then it's, all right, if we address this, these practical concerns, would you be willing to try it again to see if, you know, other than that, once it got in, was it okay? You know, that kind of thing. And I think that that's we have to use that problem solving yeah. ability in order to see, because look, we don't want to limit ourselves. That's not what BDSM is about. BDSM is about experiencing as much as you personally can as an individual with a partner, whatever, by yourself. I don't care. Just don't do self auto erotic asphyxiation. That's not a good thing. Let's not do that. Let's not do home breath play, kids.
Oh, brother.
By yourself. Or home self bondage. There's a list of things. Go to Jay Wiseman and find out the list of things you shouldn't do that can result in death. So, for us, we don't want to limit ourselves. And so let's try and problem solve to see, okay, is this really a really hard limit, or is it just a limit because blah, 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 you know, for whatever reason. There yeah. was a song that played on in the dungeon background when it was happening that triggers an event from the past. That shit happens.
Sure.
You know, there was a smell. Somebody walked in wearing your grandmother's perfume. That shit happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it triggers things emotionally. So, you know, addressing those things and problem solving, I think are really just, it's a smart way to go whenever you're dealing with these, you know, you're really kind of pushing yourself or your partner or whatever. You need to have that dialogue.
What's the next limit you want to push for yourself?
You know, that's the weird thing is, I mean, my limits are so few. I'm willing to try almost anything. And the ones that I am not willing to try, I'm just not willing to try because I have either no interest, not into scat, don't want to do that. And obviously, you know, animal children, that whole thing. It's like, just doesn't really appeal to me. Which is where I am in my own personal evolution. Well, where does that put me? Where would I, what haven't I tried? There's a lot on the receiving end I haven't tried, like fucking everything.
Yeah.
But I mean, that doesn't mean that I want to be like, yes, I'm fine. I'm now a submissive, because that's not going to happen.
That's not real.
But does that mean that I can't try it? No.
No.
Why can't I fucking try? I can fucking try everything.
Do
God
all
damn
of
it.
The things.
Do all of the things. And you better fucking do it right. Yeah, top and from the bottom. Anyway, I would probably want to expand more into experiencing the sensation, which for my very, very rare experiences in bottoming made me a better top, a much better top than the person topping me. I'm a horrible human being.
Yeah, you are.
I really am. Yeah. I'm so glad I don't believe in heaven and hell.
Oh, brother.
What about you?
I think golden showers. I've never experienced that.
But that's never been, that wasn't a limit.
No, it's never been a limit. That's true. It's just never been on the list.
You're like, yes, let me drink from the tap and just, you know, all that kind of stuff. It makes you splooshy. Let's think of what has been a soft or a hard limit for you that you would consider. I mean, Force Hetero was huge.
That was, yeah, that's pretty huge. I don't know if it's a soft limit, but needles have always been kind of...
I know.
You know, so... And that's actually one of the ones where I feel like it's those practical things that need to be adjusted. Where, I don't know, maybe I need to drink more fucking water before it happens. Like, that
I actually have thoughts on how to make that a not horrific experience for you.
You see, you make it so hard to want to play with other people because you do these things where it's...
I'm smart and I use my brain. I can give this information to other people. I'm not hoarding it. My thought is that it needs to be like a knife play or a pokey, not pokey, but like a scratch play scene that evolves into a poke scene. You'll be kind of, you'll have that blissy feeling, whatever, and I think that it'll allow for you to be able to enjoy it, or it'll snap you fucking out of subspace and you'll be like, get that shit out of me. Either way, it would be educational.
It's for science.
It's for science. Science side of Tumblr.
I mean, that's definitely up there. You know, I feel like that's one of those things where I kind of just wrote it off.
Wouldn't it be nice if you knew somebody who was really knowledgeable in needles? Me.
Yes.
You don't have to play with me. I'm not saying that. I'm not trying to pimp myself out. I'm just saying.
You know what I have really liked that I feel like I've been doing more vehemently since our break is brokering services.
You're such a whore. You really have been.
I love, you know, I identify a need or a want for something to receive something
from a person we know.
And then I know a person that can provide said service or said activity. And it just, the connection needs to happen. And sometimes bottoms can be a little, I'm saying bottoms to encompass S types, can be a little, you know, nervous or don't quite know or don't have that like friendship. And, you know, and I do. And I'm like, hey, let me make this happen for you. I can make this happen for you. And everyone will have fun. And I'll get to watch.
It's true.
You know? And that's just, it's so weird, sick and twisted. But I love that. I love that. And I feel like because I know all of these fantastic people that have all these fantastic skills, well, fuck yeah. You want something? I know somebody who can do it. You know?
And the truth is we do know somebody who can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that has, like, I don't know what it is that it's triggered in me, but I just really like that. I think maybe because, like, I just feel like, you know, you pay to go to a party and presumably you're not a creeper and, you know, you really just, you want to have fun. You want to go and you want to do stuff. Maybe you don't know everybody. Maybe you need somebody to vouch for someone else because you don't know them very well.
Right.
But you know me well, or we've been talking and, you know, you're kind of okay with me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just nice.
I think it's an extension of what service.
Yes.
And you like feeling of use.
I do.
So it feeds that for you.
Yeah. And that's been hard too, because that's something that I've had to reevaluate very strongly. So,
what? No, this is a conversation for another time.
Oh, yeah. Wow. But it's 2 minutes.
Yeah. That's a conversation for another time.
It's not like a bad conversation.
I didn't say it was a bad conversation.
I don't know. You're giving me a weird look.
I was giving you a look.
A look. Exactly.
Because I am looking at you.
Exactly. Like. A look. Exactly. That
wasn't like scornful. It was just inquisitive. Inquisitive.
Okay. All right.
It wasn't scornful, it was inquisitive.
I'll take that.
It's different. Thank
I'll
you.
Take that.
I'm glad. Take it to the bank. I don't give a shit. What? Yeah, I mean, it's always, I really enjoy people that are willing to take those leaps, for lack of a term, a leap of faith. When they're, I mean, obviously it's a calculated leap.
Yes.
When they're dealing with their own limits. Because seeing people evolve is, it's just so...
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful and it's inspiring and it makes you feel like, yes, this is what we do. This is what it's about. This is, you know, I don't want to see the same scene every single weekend. And wow, I've never seen them do that. And that is amazing. And it's, you know...
It's an art form.
It is. It is. And watching people evolve is especially when they're your friends.
Oh.
You feel so like it's your friends. So nice. Look at them. I remember when they were a little baby.
Yeah.
Now look at them. Ah. You know, it's very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just about done with the time. Thank you. This was, I think it was, I hope. I think I'll actually listen back to this one because I question whether it was.
No, I think it was good. It was good.
Follow us on the Twitter. I'm at Insidious Muse. She's at Service Slut. The show is at Kinkalectual. You know, listen, we're still working on our archives. I have to talk to Jeremy about that because that's a lot of archives that I don't want to lose.
If you're someone who's new to the show, like, dude,
we got a couple years of shit and it's fucking awesome. So, yeah, but, you know, stick around because it'll be even awesomer in the future. And we'll be back in 2 weeks.
Woohoo!